Channel 101. I'm setting it up for Mark at lunch, I guess, maybe, this Sunday, the 10th of October, 71, to report on what he has seen this weekend, Friday night, all day Saturday, and this Sunday morning, where it's been quiet. We had 2-inch rain Friday night, last night, and it's set in again. I thought we'd put in the ryegrass seed. It's too wet. Can't do it in the rain. And then it might come another shower and wash the stuff off. This channel one over, and I'm setting it up for Mark at lunch, probably, this Sunday, the 10th of October, 71.
Well, I continue to be impressed by the grease better than the that little bit of, no, that's
yeah.
oil.
Yeah.
The little jar. I don't know what he calls it, but it's
very
good.
He has to get it from some saddle place in England.
Oh.
He can't buy that particular stuff, and that's why he gives me just a little bit at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Out of his big jar. I think I put it on over there. Huh? You didn't bring your milk.
Oh, let me bring it from the refrigerator.
Just if you want it.
I don't need it.
Okay.
Except I thought if you needed
no,
some.
I got
okay.
Some.
Well, this water would be fine.
I drink a different kind. Says he will get me. I don't even think he can get it sent. I think somebody has to get it who's over there for some reason. And he said that he would get me a jar of it.
Mm-hmm.
Over there.
It seemed like in one of the saddle shops. There's just a couple of saddle shops in England where you've been able to find it.
Right.
It doesn't even make sense, but that's what Clyde said.
Mm.
He had orders for these elaborate saddles. I don't know how elaborate they were, English. I think they were English. I'm not sure.
He keeps busy?
Mm.
Is there a lot of work he has to do?
Does he make a living at the saddles?
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe he does then.
Mm-hmm.
Have quite a few hours he puts in there.
So he didn't have
to hire
out.
Mm-hmm. He makes the holsters for the state highway patrol people.
No, he
and
must be busy.
Mm-hmm.
He does that.
And he has some big contracts.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. And he probably knows as much, if not more, about saddle making as Mr. Caswell did.
He's a fellow who moved.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But his shop isn't very interesting. It's just a shop.
People like I do. Better order. Mr. Caswell's shop was more interesting.
Mr. Caswell was in an old shed back of the town.
Yeah.
The saddles, old saddles hung up along the wall.
Old frame house,
old
wood house.
That's right.
This is concrete block.
And his smell like a saddle shop.
But Clyde's is what? What is?
It just looks like a department store.
Oh.
Where they have all the little utensils lined up in order.
Everything in order.
And he talks. He could be anything. He could
too
be
much
a,
order. This little not.
He could be a bank teller.
The one for the leather. He could have been almost anything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. And you know, you can't imagine Mr. Caswell doing anything but working in leather. All that leather.
Well, what about Clyde? He's giving his heart just to that too.
Yeah, but it doesn't come out that way. It's really a little strange.
You know, we don't know much about him. Not enough to talk about him.
Right.
Well, some people seem to work with order, a lot of order, and some people seem to work without much order. And I guess Mr. Caswell would.
You knew him.
I didn't. I just wondered from what Thea said about his shop. He seemed to like to work without necessarily keeping it in,
yeah,
in great order. As Clyde does.
I've never even talked to Clyde, should have been passing. Nick could talk, that's what I told
Mark
a while ago. Nick
mm-hmm.
would be the one.
Oh.
Yes, he would know how to talk with me.
Well,
he could see him in a light that I couldn't see him in. He spent a lot of time down there beside.
Yeah.
Maybe he learned some things about
mm-hmm.
making sounds.
They pull all the magazines together and talk about. Mm-hmm. It was Clyde who got this roofing bit from it. And Nick had been trying to buy one. He couldn't find one, even in a catalog. And Clyde found it, got it for him.
A rope?
A roping bit. The one that I used on Molly yesterday.
Oh, that one.
That's called a roping bit. Mm-hmm.
And they're not to come?
Mm-mm.
I used to know the man that ran that oil, Shell oil station. I used to know him right well. He, for a long time, man, he sort of kept me in business over here. He'd keep my machine going. And then, light, you know, burn me up someday. And his boys were growing up while he was there. They used to come up here, right? And, I saw him go broke by letting people have credit, you know.
Yeah. And now you got someone else. You got Cookie to come over here and do that, I guess, what he did.
There's some fella that moved in there from Minnesota, just brand new down here. And,
the Shell station?
Yeah.
Oh.
Right fresh.
In Minnesota, that's quite a piece.
Quite a piece.
Yeah.
He and his wife, they were fairly young. And they'll go broke too if they
get credit out.
They're doing dry here. You know, the profit, so the margin is so slight. If they lose $50, you see how much business they have to transact to make that $50. They don't have any high price stuff.
Yeah.
Over there.
Just gas, maybe.
Pump and gas and service in the car.
Yeah.
He doesn't do mechanical very much.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit.
Yeah, I got some uncles who are in the gas station business, and they don't make a great deal of money. But then I got one uncle who owns a number of stations, owns a chain of stations, and owns some oil, an oil company, that the trucks come in and fill up at this place and then get on the highway. And now he's rich.
Well.
But I'm impressed. Those who just own a station, a service station, in rural areas, then I'm not impressed by how much they bring in. Maybe enough to feel comfortable. Living, I guess, very comfortable. But it just does seem to be marginal. Of course, now, these uncles who own this service station have a fancy boat. They don't have big houses and lots of land and anything like that.
Are they back in North Carolina?
Yeah, Clinton, Roseboro, Eastern North Carolina, very scenic. Somewhat like this, in this soil condition. It's poor land, Eastern North Carolina.
I don't know the Carolinas. How much of the coastal plain is there? 100 miles?
I'd say 200. 100 to 200. Yeah. It's a long state, like Tennessee. You got different sorts of land.
And then Piedmont would be the majority of it, I guess.
Piedmont, majority. And you got that beautiful. The mountains don't take up very much. The mountains just take up, I guess, the smaller of the three regions.
Would you say the mountains go from Asheville on?
Yeah, that's just about it. And you know Asheville's pretty far west toward the border.
Yeah, 100 miles.
Yeah, as I remember coming from, just a couple weeks ago, coming from across the mountains to Chapel Hill, when I left Asheville, I drove maybe 25 miles, maybe 25 to 50 miles, you know, no mountains at all. Just small, very low hill.
Yeah.
Very interesting state. It has a little bit of everything.
Now, their textiles feel the pinch of Japan.
Really?
I don't know if it's really or not. But
I don't know that.
I just assume they do because their textiles and the American textile industry is pinched by the Japanese. And that's one thing they're trying to work out.
I didn't know they were having a problem like that. Could be. They got one big textile industry called Burlington. That's pretty big. Company, textile company.
Well, from all the Japanese things we buy, any textile company anywhere would be hurt.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I guess so.
I don't think I've seen anything in stores for a long time that didn't have Japanese on it. And surprising.
I didn't think of them in connection with textiles. I thought of them in connection with everything else, electronics to optics. But I hadn't thought about there being exporting many textiles. But
the calves, we went across the pasture to get the horses. They were way down in there, and it was sprinkling rain, raining hard. But in that tall grass in that middle pasture, why, those five heifers looked as big as these heifers over here. And Mark said something about, aren't they large? And
yeah,
it is the way the light falls on them.
Yes.
And the way they walk in the grass.
Of course, if they lie down, then they look large too.
And you know, they and then they ran over to this corner and lay down. All three of them lay down in the grass.
Yeah.
And all they could see would be their heads. Yeah. Mike, would you like another salmon? There's plenty more of your stuff.
Tell you what, I just eat this, a little bit of this. If it's okay.
Those pickles?
Yeah. I guess they're out here to be eaten, aren't they?
Bread and everything.
Yeah, they did look as large as the others you had in the other pasture.
Oh, I didn't hear the owl last night, did you?
I didn't. I kept listening for it.
Well, you know, he goes for several weeks or so every now and then, and I doesn't speak.
He's not that regular, huh?
He could be somewhere else.
Yeah.
They must have a large territory.
How about some pickles? Yeah, would you mind?
No, thank you.
Yeah.
I've been nibbling on these little.
But they love to, the ones that we hear so much are down in that little hammock, right down in there.
Well, they come.
Oh.
Yeah, they come up there to speak, you know, they're around.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes they are rather close. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I heard one early this morning. It wasn't early, about 9 o'clock or 8 o'clock. It was over there. So it wasn't the ones you're talking about. No, yeah, it was an owl. Just heard him once, that's all.
Just once.
Over here. But you're talking about an owl down there, aren't you?
Well, they go all around.
They don't stay in one spot. I see. I thought they might stick to one tree for roosting or something.
Oh, they cover a territory. You know they do.
Yeah, but if you heard one, whether.
Maybe that same one.
Yeah, that's our friend.
I'm glad you heard it.
Yeah, I guess they do the hunting at night mainly, so they would
be
on the prowl all over. I thought, you know, I thought they may be the roost, you know, on this tree and stick to one tree, but they move around. And I've never seen an owl, too, so I'll be happy to see one around here.
Well, the way you locate them, a lot of times, you might just look up and see them. But in the daytime, if they are, you know, out of their headquarters, if it's a blue jay, a crow or something sees them, they'll raise a ruckus.
Hmm.
So they find them quite.
Well, if I hear a lot of birds fussing, then you know, maybe for that reason.
Yeah.
Well, some of the young people, I know 3 or 4 of the young people who came up early yesterday from the back pasture, were here on the trip where they saw the owl in the trees,
mm-hmm.
and the owl just sat there. And let people come up fairly close.
Yeah.
Lots of people took pictures of him, and he was like unbelievable, you know, there in the daytime, just sitting there.
That's when he sleeps, I guess.
Mm-hmm. He was way up high.
He was high. But they remembered, and they remembered the coon that came and circled around while they were in the back pasture, asking as if he owned the place. He said they had remembered that from the last trip.
Yeah.
Thought about it a lot.
See, they don't really get into the thing. They just dip in, and you can't do that. You just got to stay with it. Get your perch and sit there.
I heard that that's the best way to observe wildlife, is just to get you sit down.
Yeah. Be quiet.
Instead of always moving around, yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever done that? You told me last night that you used to. I wonder if you've done that sort of thing.
I've done 7 states in the process.
Just have a seat and then wait for them to
but
come around.
Like we were saying, sitting in the car is better.
And I'm surprised at that. I've heard that too. But
it gives you mobility and a little more comfort.
Car is just not any kind of threat for the animal, he doesn't think, I guess.
Apparently not.
Well, you
car doesn't have a mind of its own.
See, you can get closer even on a horse.
Yes.
You know,
to a car?
Well, you can get out in the woods on a horse, you see, and you just walk along.
Oh.
If you've got a horse that you can trust, you stop. See, the animals won't move.
That's right. They
out of the way.
Oh, really?
Mm-mm.
I didn't know that.
Mm-mm. Coon, anything, they won't move.
Well, what's so obnoxious about a human being, then? Something very scary about a human being. Maybe that's it.
Well, you can't pass on experience. You know, everybody's got to shoot it. kill everything themselves, so they shift over to the binocular. I used to when I was growing up. I killed squirrels, bunny rabbits, and went possum hunting and coon hunting. I never killed much, but I didn't work at it.
Wasn't that good shot, huh? That's good.
But I did it. Same thing.
Well, I heard a gun go off a couple hours ago out there.
Yeah.
Someone was shooting.
Yeah, that's a bad season for us when they start hunting.
What do they hunt? You reckon those doves?
Sure. Quail?
Oh, yeah. All sorts
of things.
There's not much left to hunt. It's just not gone. Not even a cooter to speak of.
Yeah. Tell you what, I'm going to nibble on some more of these. That's okay. We got a lot.
I can remember when we first came out here that you could rarely go in the back pasture that you didn't run into several cooters.
Now, cooter, that's a odd name. I've seen that bird in a book, that duck in a book.
You mean a...
Cooter is a duck, isn't it?
Turtle.
A turtle?
Mm-hmm. Cooter.
And people will hunt turtles with a gun?
They just come up on
them.
Oh, get them, just they capture them somewhere.
Yeah.
And, they, you know, they just eat.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Make turtle soup out.
Uh-huh. The meat is good, fried good. This is a good native fish.
I thought there's a bird called a duck called a cooter, and I thought you.
It was a coot.
Coot, yeah, man.
Mm-hmm. Coot and gallinule.
You know, that's what I was
saying. That's the hen, you know, called marsh hen.
Well, what do these turtles look like? Are they big or?
Well, there's a soft shell, and then there's a big, there's different kinds. There's a big hard shell, you know, like about this fine. And they around a lot, especially around the swamps. They come out and they were part of the native food. It's very interesting, you know, the people around here.
I bet there's some still down there.
Well, there's a few, but not like there was, because the natives themselves have done away with them. They're behind them. It's gone. But some of our friends can talk a great deal about. You see, they lived off the land up until just a few years ago. They hunt, eat cooters, eat possums, eat coons.
Yeah.
You know, wild turkey. See, they didn't have to do it. They made their own meal. Just until just the last few years ago, the people had to depend upon stores and around here.
I didn't realize it was that subsistence was obtained right off the land.
Nothing new to them. Nothing new to Miss Daisy down here.
I can understand
why
it would be hard for them to lay down the gun if it was just several years ago.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They go out, you see, and get rabbits. Not even very many rabbits.
I haven't seen any.
She was saying not long ago when she was up here that there used to be a big cabbage field. They would grow vegetables and rabbits would come in order to protect the cabbage. They would kill the rabbits. Then they divide them among the workers. And she said rarely ever were we without rabbits. You know? And she rarely ever had to buy any.
You reckon she still has cabbage?
No, the whole vegetable thing is gone. There's no more. I'm talking about just hundreds of acres of that. I'm talking about commercial, growing commercial.
Because if it could be, there's more cabbage, then she'd see more rabbits. Even though the numbers have been shot off.
No, it's the whole thing changes. So they go to the Minute Mart and buy frozen food. But it's this passing thing that's interesting to see the change.
Yeah.
And it's happening in front of your eyes.
I didn't realize it was that drastic a change.
Mm-hmm. Just within, since we've been down here.
Yeah. So you got used to people hunting all over when you first came down.
Well, it wasn't that much here, but I mean, it was within their knowledge, their living knowledge, I guess, it had changed pretty much when we really came out here. You see, we've only been out here any length of time, but just a few years.
Oh.
We've had the place, but we haven't.
Yeah. Oh, I see. Yeah. But maybe you live.
Mm-hmm. But it's, you know, it's part of it. Part of their way of life. It's interesting.
Now that really is being close to the land when you have to eat off of it.
Well,
but your game off of it instead of going to the grocery store. The country grocery store must have been even an unusual thing.
Maybe once a week they go get, you know, sugar maybe or something like that.
But not meat and vegetables. Hmm.
Now you see they have food stamps and they still stand in line.
Yeah. You see the stores with the signs, we accept food stamps.
And it's just not very interesting anymore. It really isn't. So when they talk, you see if they talk about standing in line at the food stamp store, it's not very much lift in that. The drag. She hates to see that change, some of these people who, you know, she hates to see that particular change going on. Well, you know what? It's going to be too wet to plant. I have to go down to the little...
Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
Oh,
I'd love to get that out.
Guy had planned on a whole afternoon since he had some, and you can't even warm the cattle because the corral's too wet.
Yeah, they were all out in the corral for a while.
See, this is, that's all it is. See how light it is?
Yeah.
Well, you can't put it out unless you cut it in because if it rains a little bit, it'll wash it put it in little. It won't stay scattered.
Well, I see. You got kind of clump up.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it was so fine. Yeah,
neither. It's so fine.
Really?
That's the grass, you know, rye grass.
It comes up and it's green.
But I help it grow when if you plant it when it's wet. Maybe not as wet as it is now, but when the ground's a little wet.
Yeah, as soon as it quits raining, if it quits raining. But see, now if you put it out and you get one of those big showers.
Yeah, that'll wash it in clumps, man.
Mm-hmm.
I see.
Yes, that's the reason I haven't put out any. It's dry, and now I can put it out any time.
Mm-hmm.
And
you just use your hand feeder.
Oh, you don't use a tractor then to spread it in.
I don't put out enough for it to matter.
You just walk it,
you see. Yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry, I can't get that out.
See, little cedar, it puts out 12 foot Well, 12 foot doesn't take many.
12 foot, that's
so
pretty big space. Well, I'll do a little more work on those sandals, finish up with the neat foot oil and some of that rare, whatchamacallit.
I'll have to find the name for
that. Grease.
Because that's too good not to know what it is. Isn't that nice?
It's cool for the first time.
Yeah.
Oh, it's too cool.
We'll have to close up pretty soon because the guests have
been in the evening.
Give me arthritis. I'll stove up.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'll stiffen up fast.
You don't want that to happen.
No. Now, the sun come out, be fine.
When you start moving slow, it's going to win this.
Yeah, I told Mark if this was he was talking about the the rolling hills and the mountains. That's where he'd like to have his little corner.
Yeah.
I told him if we just were in his kind of a country, he could pick him a little corner out there somewhere and take it out.
Yeah. Grow your vegetables.
He's gonna wander off up into the eastern part of North Carolina. Game Mountain, that would be you have to find somebody with a plot.
Yeah. Probably be New England or Canada, that's where a lot of kids are going to find land up for back taxes. Yeah.
Alaska.
I'll do a little grieving.
Oh, you just gonna do a little grieving?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a great help.
It really is. I don't have anybody.